broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning, Racing Across America. As always, thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Appreciate the support from Gulfstream for some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB. Good morning, and thanks to everybody in the Capital Saratoga region for tuning in. As usual, on a Sunday morning, we'll do some stakes recaps. We'll have a little handicapping. Going to save some of the stakes recaps for the last segment because I have Nancy Holthus jumping in to join us. And so she'll go over the Oaklawn Stakes with me. So stay tuned for that. And something there is a chime in the studio, which isn't annoying at all. I don't know what that is exactly, but I will forge through. I said that Saratoga, the Capital Region Saratoga area, but I should note that we're also on Roku now. And I was thinking on the drive-in this morning, if you watch via Roku, jump on and tell us about the experience. Viewermail at CapitalOTB.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you're watching in various parts of the country outside our local area, we would, as I say, love to hear from you and what you think of the programming, if you have any ideas. And certainly make note that you'll want to tune in during the Saratoga season, because that's when we highlight the programming, being on the backstretch, obviously, every morning up at Saratoga. So, again, if you are a Roku viewer, give us a shout. Viewermail at CapitalOTB.com. All right. Let's jump into the stakes recaps from yesterday. I will note yesterday one stakes race, and one of the races I pulled a replay for is not a stakes race. I'll show the prevalence race from earlier this week. But there was another non-stakes race yesterday. I didn't call for the replay, but I will mention Triple Tap out in Southern California, half to American Pharoah, won and looked good in the debut, 83 buyer figure. So looks like another nice runner in the Baffert stable. Triple Tap yesterday, again, being a sibling to American Pharoah. High expectations and pretty much lived up to him in the debut with a nice first start win out at Santa Anita. But let's get to the stakes action from yesterday and take a look first at the stake in New York. The correction was for the fillies and mares going 6 furlongs. I liked Amuse. Amuse was the favorite, the number 3 horse. Amuse, a little bit disappointing, running a well-beaten 4th. Sadie Lady, the number 2 horse, at 5-1 gets it done over number 4, Call on Mischief. Call on Mischief was the rank outsider in the field and just misses here. I mean, this is a nice ding-dong battle between these two, and you think Call on Mischief may run this horse down as they get closer and closer to the wire. But no, Sadie Lady with Manuel Franco on top says, not going to go by. The chart margin winds up to be ahead. As I say, this was a $13 winner over a 24-1 shot. So you had a nice little exacta for a couple of bucks, but you got 130-some back in there. Amuse, again, the even money favorite, winds up a little bit of a disappointing 4th. 3rd was Kansas Kiss. Field of 6. And Sadie Lady, trained by Robert Tross, and at 5-1, you know, if you're looking for a little bit of value, maybe that's what you hung your hat on, because Robert Tross just on a little bit of a roll at this point, has had a nice winter season right along, but it seems like recently has been going very well. Sadie Lady was also 4-7 at Aqueduct prior to yesterday, now 5-8. So a little bit of a horse for a course angle you could have jumped on. Pretty much took them all the way around there. 23 and change, 46 and change, 58 and change. Final time of 111, just a tick under 112. So they came 13 seconds for that last furlong, and not necessarily motoring along, but things set up nicely for Sadie Lady. And Call on Mischief gave it a nice try, just given the scenario of the fractions in that last 8. Sadie Lady had enough to hold on by, as they say, chart margin of a head there in the correction yesterday. On Saturday's Racing Across America, we were joined by Kenny McPeak talked about En Vuitant at Oaklawn. We'll hit on that a little bit later. She disappointed a little bit. Probably a good season beginning for that one. But we, more importantly, we're talking about the seasonal debut for last year's three-year-old filly champ, Swiss Skydiver. She did that our time last night, 7:20 for us, 4:20 out in the West Coast in the Beholder Mile. Swiss Skydiver, again, just a, you know, really, really nice three-year-old filly season, obviously leading to the Eclipse Award. But we saw her up here at Saratoga winning the Alabama in fine fashion with her triple-digit buyer figure. Prior to that, she had won the Santa Anita Oaks. She'd won the Fantasy down at Oaklawn, the Gulfstream Park Oaks, ran second to Art Collector in the Bluegrass, ran second to She Dares the Devil, which will play into a stakes race coming up a little bit later on as well, but ran second to She Dares the Devil in the Kentucky Oaks, and then the gutsy win over Authentic in the Preakness, which cemented her three-year-old filly championship, you'd have to think. Stumbled at the beginning of the Breeders' Cup distaff, and so just kind of was never in that. Hadn't been seen since that Breeders' Cup race at Keeneland in November, but she'd been working well. Bullet work on the page of 58 flat just a week ago at Gulfstream, and I asked Kenny about that, and he said, yeah, we didn't want to go that fast, but there was a horse on the turn that she engaged, and she took off. Kenny said, I was looking for more like a minute. So 58, and there was some buzz about the work. Twitter said, oh, she looked good, but it was interesting to hear Kenny say, yeah, I didn't, you know, a week out, and we're shipping across the country. I didn't necessarily want 58, but no problem for Swiss Skydiver. We will watch the stretch run here of the Beholder. She's the number one, and you can see she's kind of engaged there at the top of the stretch, but subsequently pulls off and shows she's Swiss Skydiver, a 101 buyer figure. The chart margin winds up to be just under three lengths. Got away kind of a generous 7-5. As time goes by, the second choice at 9-5 runs second in there for Bob Baffert. So a Baffert horse was in there also taking a little money, which helped juice up, I suppose, Swiss Skydiver. Robbie Alvarado, her regular rider over the past couple of starts going back to the Preakness, was on board again on Saturday afternoon, and she looked very good doing it. We'll see where she goes because she's a frequent flyer. So where Kenny McPeak decides could be any place because, you know, as I noted last year, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, Keeneland, Saratoga, Churchill, Pimlico, and then back to Keeneland. You know, 10 starts. She was at 9 different tracks last year. So she does not seem to mind the traveling and did it successfully again yesterday. As I say, the work a week ago was at Gulfstream. Kenny said she arrived at Santa Anita on Tuesday. And then there was a couple of days where training wasn't open. We had a little video of her just getting a gallop over the track. I think it was Friday morning when Kenny was on the show yesterday. So she wasn't able to get on the track immediately upon arriving. But all no problem for Swiss Skydiver, who comes off the championship season and starts the four-year-old season in fine fashion with, as I say, a 101 buyer figure for her triple-digit, third triple-digit buyer. Got a 105 in the Preakness, got a 102 in the Alabama win right up here at Saratoga, and then yesterday the 101 buyer as well. They had some nice stakes action at Laurel yesterday, and I pulled up some of those replays because I've said it a few times. The stakes schedule out at Laurel in the wintertime is a lot of fun. It seems like every two, every 3 weeks at most, you have a nice string of stakes races. And some of them can play kind of into the handicap division with some starters that could be interesting looking towards as the year progresses. But the three-year-old scene is very interesting. And if not at the highest level, I think you can at least look for, the fillies, the three-year-old filly side of things to play out going into the Preakness weekend, you know, Black-Eyed Susan, maybe those kind of races. But the three-year-old males, it's not unusual to see Maryland-based runners wind up in the Preakness a little bit later on. So I pulled up They had about five or six stakes yesterday, but I pulled up the 2 3-year-old races because, as I say, these could play out coming into Preakness weekend or beyond. It just depends. I mean, there were some nice runners in these two races. First up is the Beyond the Wire. Actually, first up, let me. I'm looking at my rundown here. I put the private terms first, so I will stick to the rundown. And the private terms was for the 3-year-old. Males. May the Horse Be With You was the even money favorite, coming off a big win last time in the Miracle Wood for Brittany Russell. That'll be the number 2 horse. At 21-1, however, number 3, Shackled Love. Kind of surprising. This horse was coming off a couple of decent little seconds recently, so and beaten favorite in both of them, 4-5 and 2-1 in the last two starts. Goes off as the next to longest price on the board, and Shackle Love's the number 3 horse here. May the Horse Be With You, the number 2. But again, off a couple of decent favored second place finishes to get away at the 20. I'm not saying the horse should have been favored, but 21-1 looked like a decent little price for the Gary Capuano horse. Charlie Marquez was on board and gets it done. Half a length was the chart margin. May the Horse Be With You winds up second, again, as the even money favorite. Shaq Queen King, another nice little 3-year-old down there in Maryland, was the second choice or the third choice at 9-2. That one disappoints a little bit and runs fourth in there. But had thrown in a little bit of a clunker last time as well in the Withers, after having run nicely in the spectacular bid at Laurel on January 16th. So Shaq Queen King has now thrown in a couple of less than stellar performances. But May the Horse Be With You. Gutsy stretch run, kind of was right there, and just, couldn't keep up with Shackled Love late to, be a half a length behind. But again, this will play into, you would think, some 3-year-old stakes races later on. Whether it will turn out to be the Preakness or not, that has to be seen. But May the Horse Be With You, record now, 8 starts, 3 wins, and 4 seconds. So that's a nice little 3-year-old. And we'll see what is in the future. It may just have taken Shackled Love, the first 5 starts of the career to really kind of figure it out. Won the career debut, and then was kind of plugging along an optional claiming allowance company the past few starts. And as I say, before yesterday, had a couple of okay second place finishes and broke through with a stakes win yesterday. So both of the top 2, you would think, worth watching going forward. And Shaq Queen King. And the second choice in there was Royal Number, who had also run fourth, also been, off the board in the Withers in the prior start. But that one for Mike Trombetta also, a little disappointed a little bit yesterday, running 6th of 7, but probably a nice runner going forward. Again, that out of the race, really the top 2 are the ones that seem to be the ones you want to concentrate on going forward if you're looking for performers that will play out on the 3-year-old scene down there in Maryland. Now I will look at the Beyond the Wire, the 3-year-old Philly side. It was a little bit earlier on the card yesterday, down at Laurel, and favorite in here at 3-5 was Street Loot. No surprise, Street Loot is just an amazing win machine. Came into the race yesterday with a record of 7 wins and 8 starts, including the Wide Country last time, the Extra Heat before that, the Gin Talking before that. As I say, just a win machine, and subsequently went off at 3-5 yesterday, but could not get it done. The number 2 horse is Street Loot. The winner is number 5, Little Stitious, who ran 4th last time in the Rachel Alexandra down at Fairgrounds, had run in the Silver Bullet Day just prior to that for Tommy Amos. So kind of clever. They said, maybe we're not on the 3-year-old Philly side of things heading to the Kentucky Oaks and following that Fairgrounds trail. Let's try a little maybe easier company for $100,000. And so they go up to Maryland off a Bullet Work down at the Fairgrounds and get it done there. Over Fraudulent, and number 2 Street Loot wound up 3rd. So again, it was a disappointment for Street Loot, who had never run worse than 2nd in the career. Maybe the mile is going to be too long. Yesterday was a mile. It was the first time Street Loot had been a mile. you know, she was right up there throughout much of the race and then just faded late. So maybe she'll turn out to be a nice three-year-old filly sprinter. Maybe I'll look for her in the test. Certainly off what we've seen so far in the career, that is not out of the question. But again, the Tommy Amos runner, a little stitious, gets a nice stakes win on her resume. She had won a stakes earlier at Delta Downs back in December, but comes up from Fairgrounds to invade and take away the majority of the $100,000 purse in yesterday's Beyond the Wire at Laurel. And again, those three-year-old boys, three-year-old girls, just thought those would be interesting races to look at because going forward, you know, I would think, as I say, I'm not sure these are the upper tier, but I think in both of those races you have some runners that will play into some three-year-old stakes as the months progress here. All right, I also wanted to go back to last weekend, speaking of, you know, three-year-olds and Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks, last weekend's Santa Isabel Grade 3 event out at Santa Anita. San Felipe was Saturday for the boys, and then on Sunday they had the Santa Isabel for the girls. And it wound up to be a scratch-reduced field of four. There was only five entered, but one scratch left it with a field of four. The 3-5 favorite was number four, Calypso, not surprisingly for Bob Baffert. Six starts, two wins, 3 seconds, one third going into yesterday. Had won a stakes race at Santa Anita two starts back and finished second in the La Virginess last time out. But number four, Calypso, a little bit disappointing on Sunday. And the field of four at 3-5 winds up third. The winner here is Beautiful Gift. So again, the Baffert favorite winds up third, but the Baffert not favorite winds up winning. Beautiful Gift, also a Baffert horse, as the field featured three Baffert runners, four horses, three Baffert runners, and one from Mike McCarthy. So Baffert certainly was loaded in there, but also notable, Beautiful Gift winning the Santa Isabel on Sunday, ridden by Johnny Velasquez out in Southern California for the weekend, and picks up a stakes win in the Grade 3 $100,000 Santa Isabel for Bob Baffert aboard Beautiful Gift. Beautiful Gift now. Calypso, as I say, had six starts already, five exacta finishes. Beautiful Gift, however, fairly lightly raced coming into last weekend's start with only two starts, including a third-place finish in the debut at Del Mar and then a follow-up last October at Santa Anita, winning a maiden race. So lightly raced, and as I say about these lightly raced two-year-olds that get a little time off and come back as three-year-olds, they can come back, it seems like, with a little bit of added maturity, perhaps. And it, you know, I'm not arguing against that being the case for Beautiful Gift. So she may now be a player going forward for the Kentucky Oaks or, you know, summertime three-year-old filly stakes. And given the calendar out in Southern California, that would bode well for her, you know, showing up in New York, because I think there's more opportunities for the three-year-old fillies, you know, Acorn and Alabama, Coaching Club American Oaks, those kind of races. So we'll see. And jury is still out. It was only a four-horse field. She got it done nicely, though, and as I say, still lightly raced and seems like maybe improved as a four-year-old. We will see for Beautiful Gift. But Calypso, again, a little bit disappointing on Saturday, stretching out for the first time to a mile and a sixth. I say that she was actually mile and a 16th in the Starlet earlier, but we'll see what's up for Calypso going forward as well. All right, before we wrap up our recap segment, and again, we'll recap the Oaklawn Stakes a little bit later on when we're joined by Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. But I did want to show one more race from this week, a couple of days ago, at Gulfstream, the second career start for Prevalence. The Brendan Walsh runner that back on January 23rd had put in an eye-popping debut. Won that day by 8.5 lengths, got a solid 89 buyer for a three-year-old at this time of year for a debut effort. That's very good. And off of that January start, immediately there was buzz, oh, Kentucky Derby. Well, subsequently had to miss a couple of days of training with just a little ding, a little setback. It wasn't enough to have much concern about, but it was enough to set back the training a little bit. So Brendan Walsh had to look for some spots. They put this race together for the horse on Thursday this week, and we'll watch Prevalence in the second career start, again, with a big buzz off the debut. Number six horse here gets it done. It was an 86 buyer. Again, the debut was an 89 buyer figure. The follow-up here this week was an 86. Chart margin is 3. Not as visually impressive as the 8-plus length win in the debut, but certainly given the scenario, you'd want to leave a little something in the tank probably. So that may have been amongst the instructions for Tyler Gaffney. Win the race, but don't go crazy, you would have to think, because now Brendan Walsh still feeling like potentially on the Kentucky Derby trail. Kind of feels like if we can get in one of these last preps, particularly, you know, you're talking one of these 100-point preps coming up. You know, you wind up even running second, you wind up getting enough points to potentially, we'd have to think, get into the Derby. So, you know, the Florida Derby, the Wood, the Bluegrass, Arkansas Derby could be out there for prevalence. As I say, this one wasn't necessarily as eye-catching as the debut effort, but he's now 2-for-2 and, you know, did it the way you were supposed to. And, again, probably weren't pushing the pedal to the metal, as it were, in that race, given the scenario of if they're going to try to make the Derby on the first Saturday in May. But there was the second career start, again, from one of the buzz horses this year, Prevalence. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon. And as I say, a little bit later on, we will be joined by Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park to recap the Rebel and some of the other stakes action that was run yesterday down in Arkansas. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
And again, as I said earlier, if you watch via Roku, we'd love to hear from you. We went live with it, I want to say New Year's Eve. I think it was the day before the first of the year. And immediately got a handful of emails that said, hey, you know, I'm scrolling through it, and there you are, and we were watching you. And so that was kind of fun to, over the first few days, get a bunch of emails. But again, if you're kind of picked it up over the last couple of months, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been watching, where you are and how you're enjoying the programming. So again, viewermail@capitalotb.com. All right, I'll take a look at the late pick five at Tampa. I may be stretching a little bit because at Tampa yesterday, I should have done golfs. I haven't really finalize some of the Gulfstream thoughts, because for the one sheet I did Aqueduct in Tampa, so those are done. But I maybe should have looked at Gulfstream a couple days ago. At Gulfstream, had a very good day on the one sheet, and yesterday I had the late start because I got my vaccine yesterday, and so I took off the middle of the day, did the morning programming, went and got the shot, and then came back in and did the remainder of the afternoon. So I looked at maybe the last 6 races at Gulfstream, and I think I was 5-6 with the last 6 races there here on the network. I didn't have it on the one sheet yesterday, But maybe I should have stuck with Gulfstream because it seems like it's been a good week there. But I'm looking for the rebound at Tampa because last Saturday, Tampa Bay Derby Day was a pretty good day down at Tampa. We'll see if we can rebound a little bit. As they say, a slow day on the one sheet yesterday at Tampa. And again, I haven't seen the scratches yet. It's a little early for that. And I'm looking at the late pick five sequence. I don't have a ticket set up without the scratches or anything yet, but I'll just give you some thoughts on the sequence itself, which today kicks off in race number five, late pick five at Tampa. That'll be about quarter after two today. I have the fifth at Tampa, which is a starter allowance at a mile on the grass, 2, 8, 6, and 3. I put Dazzling Truths on top, and I just couldn't get past the first off the claim trainer stats with a, you know, an okay sample, sitting at about 40% off the claim for this trainer. Comes in good form off some improving numbers over the past couple of starts. And again, with that trainer stat, for a trainer who's having a very good beat to begin with, but then you throw that off the claim stat. Getting 6-1 on the morning line. We'll see if that holds up, but I think that may be an interesting way to start off the pick five with the trainer stat that's live. Horse that's clearly going to take a lot of money is the Wesley Ward trainee, just because these Tampa races with the name guys coming over from the east coast of the state, you know, Chad Brown comes over, or some of the other notable trainers, they just automatically take some action. And I think that's going to be the case for Wesley Ward with a runner that, just beyond the name, fits with this bunch. Gets Sammy Camacho on board. He's riding very well at the meet. So I think you have all the check marks in the right categories to lean towards Infinite, and that may wind up being the horse to beat. So Dazzling Truths over Infinite, 2 over the 8. And then in the third spot, I'll use And One, who comes off a win last time at a 16 claimer. This is a $16,000 starter allowance, but it was a nice win last time. Second win in the last four starts. So the horse seems to be in some good form. Class-wise, I think stacks up nicely with this group. Gallardo on board, who is riding very well at the meet. Also, Kamek, the number three, is in my mix as well. And if I was putting together, you know, the pick five ticket, this is a race where it might be hard to pare down too much, because I can make the case for Kamek as well. And I think that horse will offer some value. But, you know, if you were paring down, I think the top two are probably two that you could have a modest amount of confidence in. In the fifth at Tampa, I have a 2, 8, 6, and 3. Race number six at Tampa on this Sunday afternoon. $8,000 conditional claimers going 5.5, 3, 8, 5, and 6. Captured by Fate on top. Lightly raced. And most of the races are earlier last year. Laid off from May until March, just a week ago. I like the quick comeback. I think that shows some confidence. B, that quick comeback was the seasonal debut off a long layoff. Pretty good effort over at Gulfstream. So I like the venue class relief, the quick turnaround that says they have a little bit of confidence, and you know the fact that now the horse has some fitness off of that first start of the season. So Captured by Fate on top. Company Store off a nice try last time with a lifetime best buyer figure. I mean, there are a couple of numbers further down the page that are kind of comparable, but certainly that was a very potent jump forward in the first start off the claim, and it was against a little bit better. So I think now they drop back down, got a second place finish last time against better, so they banked a little money with that second place finish. Now they go back down to the level of the claim, having already put some money in the bank off the claim. So Company Store seems clever and logical. Third spot, I'll go with West Side Warrior at 8-1. And it's just hard to ignore anything Gerald Bennett sends out at the meet. He's been so potent. This one will offer a price, because certainly the last three starts do not offer much confidence. And the last time was a well-beaten seventh place finish at this level. So you're using a Bennett horse on the Bennett form at the meet, but this horse has already run for Bennett and not well last time. So I think the odds will hold up. But again, it's tough for me to ignore, even in this scenario, tough to ignore Gerald Bennett at Tampa at this meet. So in the sixth race, which second leg of the pick five, but also starts the late pick four this afternoon, 3, 8, 5, and 6. Tampa's seventh race, I have, I'm six deep in here, but two of these are AEs. So the 11 and the 13 are on the also eligible list. If they make it, use them. If they don't make it, I've gone a little bit deeper for other options. In the seventh, I have a 2, 9, 11, and 7, and the 13 and the 14 are also sitting out there as possibilities should the 11 or the 13 get in or not get in. But on top, the number 2, Kathleen O'Connell runner, T.G. Munnings. All starts in the career so far have been on the dirt. They pop over to the turf this afternoon, and this is no superstar by any means. And the morning line isn't reflecting that, and I don't think the afternoon odds will either. But my point is the horse has fired some numbers that are not spectacular, but compared to this bunch, they're pretty good. So we'll trust Kathleen O'Connell making the interesting move, excuse me, to the turf. Blinkers come off today. And again, off what we've seen so far, maybe this horse has a little bit of an edge on a relatively weak field. Second spot, nothing really, goes out for Derek Ryan off a poor performance last time. But this is a horse that's had two dirt starts that bookend a turf start. And the turf start is clearly the best effort of the career. So gets back to the turf, off the turf event last time, but they stayed in the race. Now I think the horse has proven to be better on turf. So if they get the grass this afternoon, Sammy Camacho on board here. He was on board for the decent turf race two back. So I think the scenario says nothing really is a player. 11, Beach Bandit, first horse on the AE list. So doesn't need much help to get in, but it's my man Mike Deeney who's been having a very good meet. This horse has not shown much. Five starts, four of them on dirt. The turf start wasn't even much. But Deeney's just been going so well at the meet that it's hard for me to ignore. You know, I've been touting him the whole meet, and he's been coming in with some nice prices. So certainly this one at 8-1 on the morning line deserves to be that. Has not shown a whole lot, but I'll put the horse in the mix if, you know, he does scratch into the race. Subsequently, no renovations. First-time starter from Mike Stidham that I think has a little bit of breeding and could be live as well. The 13, that one will be a player if he gets in. But the 13 is three deep on the AE list. I really need some help. That may be a stretch. And then, as I say, I went six deep just because two of mine are on the AE list. If they don't get in, Tollgate at a decent price could be interesting. This horse has made two starts so far last October at Gulfstream Park West. Neither of them were inspiring at all, but they were both on the dirt. They were both against a little bit better, so gets that venue and price class relief for the third career start of for the third start of the career and the first start of this season and moving to the turf. Poseidon's Warrior is on top. He's one of those sires. I haven't looked at the stats recently, or I haven't looked at last year. I didn't prep for this. I'm sure I have at some point over the past couple of months. But for the last couple of years, he's been one of those sires that does not jump off the page with firsters, but can get a firster to run well. Now, this horse has already had a couple starts, so the firster stats for me in these scenarios just indicate win early types. And I've said it before, with these win early types, when you're looking for them to win in the first or the second start, and they don't, and they maybe they get one start, two start, maybe three starts, maybe even four starts, and then the scenario changes. They go to turf, or they switch the venue, or they get some class relief. Sometimes they get the wake-up on what is interesting breeding. So we're looking at 20-1 on the morning line for Tollgate, the number four, and there is the switch-up. It's been a little bit of a layoff, now comes over to Tampa, now tries the turf. Maybe worth taking a look at and kind of tossing into the mix. You know, the trainer is over, and so you want the price, certainly. But if you get the price, maybe one that interesting to fool around with. I'm not tossing this out with a lot of confidence. But at 20-1, you're kind of, here's the story of why, take a little shot with Tollgate somewhere in the mix in the seventh. Seventh of Tampa, 2-9, 11-7, 13-4, if warranted. In the eighth race of Tampa this afternoon, these are maiden 9-10 claimers going six. I have a 10, 11, 7, and 9. Pocky on top for me. A couple of nice second place finishes recently in similar company. So the horse is in good form. I think the post position is a nice little outside attack post position to benefit from. Has enough positional speed to kind of break from the gate and be in a nice stalking position, maybe get first jump. Beaten favorite last time. So I just think there's a scenario here to say, this one could be a little bit live and primed this afternoon. Almanaster in the second spot, just outside Pocky. And this one gets some class relief this afternoon that I think will be beneficial. Trainer's a little cool, has been for the past couple of seasons, so you know, can't use it with much confidence. And I think this one is morning line favorite. Yeah, and with the trainer on an 0-for this year and a 1-for last year, it would be hard to accept too short of a price on Almanaster, but I think belongs in the conversation. Deny in the third spot. Yeah, there's enough there to think this one may be a player, although it was well behind my top pick last time in poor performance. But I think the horse is better than that. Dropped down to this level last time. There is a trouble line there, broke in the air, and it seems like, you know, given the performance last time as compared to the other ones underneath, maybe that's a legitimate excuse. That's kind of what I'm counting on, so we'll put Deny in the mix as well. In the eighth at Tampa, 10, 11, 7, and 9. And finally, race number 9 at Tampa this afternoon, which will complete that late pick 5. Maiden specials on the grass at 9 furlongs. I have the ninth race at Tampa, 2, 7, 9, and 4. Federalist Papers on top, as I mentioned before. You have to pay attention when Chad Brown comes to Tampa, and he brings this one to Tampa for Klarovich. This horse, in fact, debuted at Tampa back at the end of December. Subsequently, he's been working over on the other side of the state at Payson Park for Chad Brown. But Chad, pretty good, pretty solid bringing horses over to Tampa at the meet, including some Klarovich runners that have come over. And I think this one off the career debut at the end of last year, now a couple months off. Again, maybe one of those that benefits from that comes back with even a little more added maturity and talent, and Federalist Papers looks logical. 9-2 on the morning line. Again, the Chad Brown name is going to attract some attention in here. Although there are plenty of other familiar names in here, including another Chad Brown runner in number 4, Higher Truth. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I think that 9-2 is going to float down. Spatial goes out for Christophe Clement, a firster by Warfront. Nice steady string of workouts over on the other side of the state. Christophe Clement also has Revere, the second-time starter, who was actually in the same race at the end of December as my top pick, Federalist Papers. Federalist Papers finished third. Revere finished second. So I'm doing one of those flip-flops that I always tout against, but we'll see how it works out this afternoon. Higher Truth is the other Chad Brown, firster by Galileo. I put that one down in the fourth spot. But it's a fun race that I could point to a couple others that I could find some interest in. Graham Motion has a couple runners in here, the 1 and the 6. Brendan Walsh brings Baffalum over from Gulfstream. Eddie Keneally has Tyette, even tied for Vicky Oliver at a big price. I could kind of make a case there even. It's an interesting way to wrap up the pick plays in the finale at Tampa. You know, on the grass, familiar names, a little bit of breeding, a little bit of everything at work for you. But I wound up going 2, 7, 9, and 4. We will see how that works out this afternoon at Tampa. All right, just quickly, I mentioned yesterday the runners on the Kentucky Derby leaderboard who are probably in. And if we do the cutoff at, let's say, 40, which you think would probably get you in, now after yesterday's races, Concert Tour moves on to the list. And so there are now 7 horses with 40 or more. Greatest Honor, Kentucky Derby leaderboard list, has 60. So does Life is Good, Mandaloon 52. Concert Tour now with 50. Helium and Weyburn with 50, and Essential Quality with 40 points. And again, you would think they're all probably pretty solid to get in. Everybody else is kind of chasing and looking to get points that will validate, guarantee they get into the starting gate. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised earlier, we'll be joined by Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. A little recap of the really, really nice stakes card at Oaklawn yesterday, including the Rebel Stakes for the three-year-olds. All of that coming up. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
As promised before the break, we'll talk a little Oaklawn Stakes action from yesterday with our friend Nancy Holthus. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board after a big day down at Oaklawn. And yesterday in preview, I was talking to Rick Hammerly, and we were talking a little bit about just the meet and how it's been going so far. And one of the notes was obviously that 2 weeks where you had the weather, and certainly we can relate to that as we've had a rough season up here as well in upstate New York. But it seemed like watching the telecast yesterday, hopefully things are moderating a little bit weather-wise down there.
You know what? They are. It's been pretty decent weather-wise since. We have had, you know, some bouts of thunderstorms, and that does look to be the case today later on in the card. But you know what? The sun did make an appearance yesterday, and we've had the infield open the last two Saturdays, so a sense of normalcy has finally returned to the race meet.
Yeah, I was going to mention the infield. That makes it fun, and it's limited fans, right, on the front side and then in the infield as well. Limited fans and mask wearing and distancing, correct?
Yes. Reservations are required on the front side, but it is general admission to the infield, and it's great to have fans back in the stands. So it's great to hear actually cheering for once, and they certainly did that yesterday.
Yeah, that's as I say, I've been knocking wood for 8 months now. Hopefully we're on our way, as it were, and things will get normal sooner rather than later. But it is fun to have some fans in the building and whatnot to cheer along. All right, let's get to it and talk a little bit, and we'll start from the highlight yesterday. the Rebel. I pulled up the stretch run. I probably should have pulled up the entire race because this was interesting right from the get-go as the jocks kind of a little cat and mouse going around the first turn, Caddo River and Concert Tour. I liked Concert Tour yesterday, and Bob Baffert in Arkansas, I just couldn't ignore that. And Concert Tour, Joel Rosario gets him to the lead. Caddo River with Flojo tries to get up there and challenge, but couldn't get by Concert Tour early. And Concert Tour subsequently takes him all the way around. Concert Tour is going to be the number seven horse here. Hoosier, the other Baffert runner at a price, runs second. Big Lake runs third. Superstock fourth. Caddo River, disappointing off of that Smarty Jones incredible win, winds up fading to run fifth as the 6-5 favorite. But boy, the Baffert runner just looked fabulous yesterday. We're seeing Concert Tour win. What were your thoughts?
Well, I actually was a little disappointed in, well, a lot disappointed actually, in Caddo River. Florent had a massive hold on him on the backside, you know, really, really holding him back, kind of struggling a little bit rank down, you know, through the first half. So, and, you know, we've seen that, you know, when you take that much out of a horse, there really isn't much left down the lane when you go to ask them. So really no surprise that he did run fifth. You know, so really disappointed in that effort yesterday. So no surprise that Concert Tour just blew him down the lane, scoring by more than four lengths. So the Baffert Exacta, Concert Tour, and Hoser, you know, I guess really no shock that Baffert scored his eighth Rebel yesterday. So I interviewed Joelle, you know, that was the same route that Nadal took last year, the Maiden, the San Vicente, the Rebel, and I passed Jimmy Barnes in the paddock, and I said, well, I have to assume you're coming back for the Derby with this one. He said, I'll see you next month. So really no shocker that that's going to be the case in point. So, yeah, Baffert, once again, scoring here in Hot Springs.
Yeah, we do a podcast now, and on a Friday, in honor of the Rebel, I did a trivia question. I tossed out, how many of the last 12 runnings of the Rebel has Bob Baffert won? It was seven. So he's now won eight of the last 13. And for, I don't know whether it registers with people, but if it's your home track, you know, sometimes you can get a little record like that going. But Oaklawn isn't his home track. He ships in. He's won eight of the last 13. It's mind-boggling.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so it's no surprise. And it was nice that Gary and Mary West were here yesterday to get to visit the infield winner's circle and to see their horse just be super impressive. So it's it was very nice victory for them as well.
Yeah, that I thought I did see him in the winner's circle area. That was nice. And one of the follow-up articles I read, a DRF, I think, last night, was talking about one that got away. They bred Life Is Good, but now they're okay. They have Concert Tour that can head to the Derby.
Yeah, well, Bob did say that this is the second best horse in the barn, so I think we know who he's referring to when he says the first is.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go a little bit earlier, the Hot Springs, and I'll tie in, you're talking about the crowd there and the crowd being able to cheer and whatnot, because when we're in doing the afternoon show, I have various track feeds going, and I'll pull up yours when you're in the paddock, and you know, you mentioned, Vic also mentioned maybe that a lot of folks were waiting for Whitmore to come out of the paddock, a fan favorite, making his seasonal debut as an eight-year-old yesterday in the Hot Springs. He'd won the race last year. He had come into this off a little bit of a layoff after having won the Breeders' Cup Sprint last year. Whitmore, as we watch the stretch run, is going to be the number six horse. CZ Rocket, and I said I had Hammerly on yesterday. He was tilting a little towards CZ Rocket. And CZ Rocket, a nice stretch duel, the number seven CZ Rocket, stretch duels with number six Whitmore, and just gets the best of him at the wire. This was a nice race with a couple of veteran sprinters here. But again, the return of Whitmore was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, you got to love it when Whitmore comes on the track during post parade. The fans are cheering for him. And even coming back after the race to unsaddle, fans still applauding the Breeders' Cup Sprint winner. So this is his home track. And even Peter Miller out in California after a victory out there, I was told in his post-race interview, giving applause to Whitmore in upset. So a lot of respect for Peter Miller there. But CZ Rocket, you know what, just simply the better horse yesterday. Whitmore did miss, you know, a couple of weeks of training due to the I like to call it snowpocalypse here, and two probably critical works coming off of that Breeders' Cup Sprint victory. So doesn't mean that he won't be in better shape going into the Count Fleet Sprint. So he now does have that race under his belt. So Ron did say, is he 100% going into this race? No. But is he going to be more suited going into the Count Fleet Sprint? Yes.
Yeah. And again, you talk about the fans down there. I've said, I made one visit to Oaklawn going back a few years, and I always say to people, it's very Saratoga-like. The town is into it. And I say during the Saratoga season a lot, we get those kind of reactions up here. I think the fans are so into the game and so knowledgeable. You'll see reactions like that of fan favorites or horses that put on a big performance. They come back to the winner's circle and they get the applause they deserve from the crowd. And I think, as I say, I think Oaklawn is very Saratoga-like in that area, that the fans are very knowledgeable down there as well.
100%. And I said on the pre-race show yesterday, you know, we don't have a professional sports team in Arkansas. The closest thing we have is the Arkansas Razorbacks. And Whitmore, I think, has just as big a fan base as the Arkansas Razorbacks. You know, he's one of our professional athletes. So, yeah, people cheer, and it's great to have fans in the infield, because when they do come in the stretch, it's so nice to have that roar of the fans back at Oaklawn.
Yeah, fun to watch and fun to appreciate as well. All right, let's go to the Temperance Hill, which kind of blew things up a little bit yesterday. I admit I did not see this coming, but we did the stakes preview a few days ago, and I said this race was a little bit of a mystery. There was nobody I had a whole lot of confidence in. I took a little pop with Plainsman. I thought Tenfold was playable. Lone Rock was a little bit interesting as well. Lone Rock does wind up running second, but Carlos L., the number five horse, really takes him all the way around this mile and a half. Things get interesting at the end. It's a neck and a neck between first and second, second and third, with Tenfold running third. But number five, Carlos L., at 47-1, just will not let them go by late and gets it done at a mile and a half yesterday in the Temperance Hill. As I say, kind of blowing things up down there.
Unbelievable effort from Carlos L. You know, whenever a trainer supplements a horse to a stakes race, I always take a little deeper look, as Diodoro did with Lone Rock. He won the inaugural running of the Temperance Hill last year with Sky Promise. So he was probably wanting to go back-to-back wins, and he almost did it. But Carlos L., unbelievable. Gate to wire going a mile and a half. That is a big accomplishment. Alex Conchari actually lost his whip in deep stretch, and he was hitting him on the neck with his hand just for that extra encouragement, and was able to hang on with the neck. And Mac Robertson just very quiet in the winner's circle, and he said, you know what, I knew this horse was going to hit the board. I don't think he thought he was going to win, especially at 47-1, but Alex Conchari came into this meet late and has always been supported from the Robertson barn. Alex Conchari, not sure if you're familiar with the story, but his brother Patrick was semi-paralyzed in a car accident and just lost his father not long ago. So to see Alex get that big confidence boost yesterday in the Temperance Hill, it really was needed. So very happy to see this young man in the winner's circle in stakes fashion.
Yeah, great story. And we're just watching them come under the wire here. We've been watching the last lap while you've been talking. And, coming around the turn, you think, oh, he's going to get swallowed up. About the eighth pole, Lone Rock has him, and he just will not let him go by. So a great story for the jock as well. And when I say rank outsider, it wasn't even close. He was 47-1. The next closest price was 14-1. So nice performance there in the Temperance Hill by Carlos L. in getting the victory at a big price. All right, let's go a little bit earlier on the card and take a look at the Essex. I like Silver State in here. I was a little bit disappointed Tax Scratched. I had that one underneath, and I was just interested to see what Tax was going to do if they elected to go in the spot. But I did like Silver State, and the Asmussen runner does get it done as the 6-5 favorite. Number 5, Silver State, over number 3, Rated R Superstar. And as we watch the stretch run, it'll be number 7, Night Ops, running third. But Silver State, seemed a little bit logical coming off the win in the stakes a little earlier in the meet, and he does get it done here yesterday. And again, another ding-dong battle between that one and Rated R Superstar, but Silver State prevails.
Yeah, very impressive effort. His fourth win, second stakes in a row, and Silver State was actually on the three-year-old campaign last year, and he got some much needed time off, and certainly does look to be a very nice handicap horse. So Steve Asmussen was notably thankful to the owners of Central Thoroughbreds and Willis Horton, who he has had a very long standing relationship with. So definitely looks to be a nice horse, whether he points to the Oaklawn Mile or the Oaklawn Handicap. But does look to have a very nice career ahead of him, and a huge effort from Rated R Superstar. That was his fourth appearance, I believe, in the Essex, and he was a claim for 40,000 two races back. So he's a hard-knocking horse. This horse loves the Oaklawn surface. So to get up and round out the Exactive for his newest connections at 19-1, a very big effort for the veteran.
Yeah, clever claim into the barn of Federico Villafranco's having a good meet down there. A lot of trainers, Diodoro having a good meet. We've already mentioned Asmussen having a good meet down there. Brad Cox certainly having a good meet. But the $500,000 Essex, I didn't mention the Rebel, $1 million up for grabs. So, and I mentioned before we get to a recap of the Azari, because I want to touch on that as well. But I mentioned the Hammerly yesterday. As I was handicapping a couple days ago for our handicapping sheet, I did Oaklawn for Saturday, and I was doing it, like I say, 2 or 3 days ago. And I saw Pletcher sent a horse in for an allowance event. And I thought, that's interesting. And then I looked up at the purse, though, and I thought, well, now I'm not surprised. It was a calendar allowance for $105,000.
Yeah, we raised the purses earlier in the week, 15% across the board. So $105,000 allowance. And I was thinking, did he bring other horses in? I'm like, heck, the plane came from Florida. Put one on there. It'll pay for itself if he hits the board. So why not?
Yeah, there was a couple $100,000 allowance races and a maiden special for $93,000. So hats off to all of you down there at Oaklawn. It's just fabulous meet. And finally, let's take a look at the Azari. Wanted to touch on this one because this was some performance. I liked En Voutant from Kenny McPeak. I had him on yesterday talking a little bit about this horse and Swiss Skydiver. Swiss Skydiver got it done out in Southern California. En Voutant, a little bit disappointing. Went off as the third choice at 3-1 and winds up fourth, but maybe benefits from that first start of the season. Had been off since November. But boy, not disappointing. The opposite, very impressive, was She Dares the Devil, last year's Kentucky Oaks winner for Brad Cox. This was the seasonal debut. She hadn't been seen since the Spinster last October, but she's on the front end all the way around in a gutsy performance to hold off number 3, Latruska, late. And as I say, it was only a field of 5, but it was a nice quality field of 5, and She Dares the Devil, just really impressive for Brad Cox.
Man, impressive does not describe it. She absolutely was stellar in this event, gate to wire, hanging on by a head. I was kind of surprised that she went out there like she did. I thought Latruska was just going to go to the front and really put on some really nice fractions, but it was Latruska that was wound up chasing the pace. So a really solid effort by She Dares the Devil in that four-year-old debut. And they had already said prior to the race that she was going to go to the La Troyenne at Churchill. And I had asked Staten Fleury, who is a local to Hot Springs, you know, you said the La Troyenne, why not the Apple Blossom? He says, yeah, we don't want to knock heads with Monomoy just yet. Maybe in the Breeders' Cup down the road. And I said, yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to knock heads with Monomoy either. But you know what? She Dares the Devil. Absolutely impressive. And Brad was very smart before massive inclement weather did hit Hot Springs. He got several of his top horses on a van down to Fairgrounds so they didn't miss any training, and I think that was a big key for a lot of his top horses.
Speaking of that, let's get your opinion before we let you go. Going back a couple of weeks to a couple of those horses that were lucky enough to be down at Fairgrounds and continue training, I had Brad on kind of when the delay happened, the week before they were supposed to go at Oaklawn, and then I had him on as the delay hit, and he said, you know, this isn't really affecting us that much because Essential Quality, Monomoy Girl, they're on the track, we're training, so we're still going to point to Oaklawn, even if it gets delayed a couple of weeks. But give us your thoughts going back a couple of weeks now, Essential Quality and Monomoy Girl. Again, just lending to the great meet you guys are having down there to have a couple of champions come back and make their seasonal debuts, both looking really good a couple of weeks ago. But give us your thoughts, Essential Quality and Monomoy Girl.
Oh, my gosh. The fact that we had two champions run on the same weekend, to see, I got goosebumps when Essential Quality ran in the Southwest. And it really is a testament to Oaklawn to have that caliber of horse be able to compete. And it just is so special to be able to have them here. And I'm so looking forward to seeing Monomoy Girl back in the Apple Blossom. We've had just literally a who's who competing here, just looking back in the history books, and to see history be able to repeat itself is, and I remember, I think in the paddock for the post-race interview, I think I actually thanked Brad Cox for bringing Monomoy here because it gave us an opportunity to see such a special horse, because a lot of tracks don't get that opportunity, but she really is something special. You know you're in the presence of greatness when you see her.
Yeah, we're watching her here, the replay of the race a couple of weeks ago, and just it's just fabulous that she's back, and I'm glad she showed up at Oaklawn, because that means we get to see her from an early part of the season on through. We'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe they come up to Saratoga with her as well, but it's just, it's very sporting that they brought her back for this, and unbelievable in the day and age, but it's just fabulous that they brought her back this year.
Absolutely, and when you say Saratoga, I think the Northern Oaklawn, so...
I said exactly this. As I say, when I went down there to Oaklawn and Hot Springs, I thought, man, this is really Saratoga-ish. And so I felt right at home when I was down there. And I got to get back down sooner rather than later. But, Nancy, again, appreciate the visit, as always, this morning. Recap of yesterday's action. Again, congratulations to you and everybody on the meet so far. We'll check in again before the end of the meet, because still plenty of great racing down there in Arkansas.
My pleasure, Seth. Have a good day.
You too. Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. Again, they're having a great meet down there, and I always tout Oaklawn because I think there's a lot of value down there. I think it's fun, high-quality racing, a lot of familiar names to us on the trainers and the jockey side as well. But yesterday was a lot of fun, certainly, with the concert tour looking pretty good. Hey, Bob Baffert with yet another three-year-old on the 2021 Derby Trail. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. This afternoon, I will be back an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take a look at a little Aqueduct, a little Tampa, some Gulfstream. Maybe we'll pull some Oaklawn into the mix as well, as we'll have plenty of racing action here on the network this afternoon. So I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America. But again, I will invite you to come back an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.